talking, cause you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss and P.
How are you?
Good. How are you? You have a game coming up in a few days, right? First game?
Yeah, just a preseason game. We actually played, was it yesterday? Oh my gosh. No, 2 days ago. Yesterday we played Inter Miami Academy team. So that was kind of our first 90-minute game.
Nice. How'd that go?
It was okay. We lost. They were fast.
Yeah.
And we're kind of all over the place, but that's what preseason's for, right?
Yeah, we're all the kinks, definitely.
What do you think went wrong in that game?
Well, it's not so much went wrong. We tried like three different formations and people everywhere. So we weren't really set on a formation. And then all of our ideas was there. Our execution is not there yet.
It's good to do that, though, before the season starts. How was preseason?
It's going well. It's a lot better this year than last year. Last year, I forget how hard it is with expansion teams. Like we didn't have an identity. It was really poorly organized last year. But this year we have two new coaches and it's been a lot better. So I'm super stoked to see how much better we can be this year.
That's awesome. Yeah, you had a crazy preseason last year, right? Wasn't like your first day you got hurt?
First day. First day I got a blood clot. So definitely feeling a lot healthier this year. That was a crazy process, like a major surgery after they had to blow the blood clot out. And then I wasn't fully 100% all last year, but one of our center backs left and got hurt. And so they needed me. And so there I was in the middle of the season.
Wow. So when you, did you know right away what the blood clot was? This is something I've always feared.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. No one really knew. I actually passed the physicals like 2 days before. And then my medical team was like, well, you should be fine. If it gets worse, let me know. And Kristen Press and Sarah Gordon, I was eating lunch after training. And they're like, no, you need to go to the hospital. Like, I think Kristen had experience, not herself, but people around her, and she knew it was a blood clot right away, which was crazy. And and then after the surgery, the doctor was like, yeah, your vein was clogged 99%. It's called Paget Schroeder, so it happens in like upper body athletes. Mm-hmm. And I'm stronger in my upper body, but they're like, yeah, it happens. And so they had to take out my rib, take out two neck muscles, scalenes to decompress the space, and they repaired my vein. And I should be good for a while.
So what was that recovery like? Because it seems like such a serious surgery.
Yeah, I mean, I came in really fit, and I had a chest tube in my lung. So my lung, when it collapsed, and like, basically, the surgery, they tear all of these muscles to get to your vein. So my entire like neck, shoulder, back, it was super weak. And I had to do so much PT right here. But also, like, I had to get my lungs back. And so a lot of running, a lot of PT. I was there from like 8 to 6 p.m. every day, trying to be with the team, but also doing all of this stuff for like 3 months. And I came back, they were like, you probably came back the quickest anyone's ever come back. So like pitchers get it a lot. So their recovery is like 15 months because I can't throw. But since my legs were fine, they were just like, you need to be able to head the ball. You need to be able to catch yourself if you fall. And every time someone hit me as I was coming back last year, like my back cracked and like I had bumps in the road where I just kicked one long ball and my entire back, like it felt like I threw out my back and I walked off and I couldn't move for 2 days. So there was just, it was like a crazy recovery. And there's so much that I was doing, like my front pec muscles, my back, my shoulder, my neck. It was crazy.
It's also so different than most injury. Like there's so many ACLs and knee injuries and ankle injuries where we know the protocol. We like other people have been through it. So was that like more challenging, you think, because it was something that not a lot of other soccer players went through and like the recovery was so unique?
Yeah, it was super challenging. And there was no set return to play plan. And as athletes, we want to have like a set thing we're doing every day. And it was like, we were all learning on the go. My medical team hasn't experienced it either. So like they had outreach to like the Dodgers because they just went through that a couple of times with their pitchers. And yeah, it was crazy. I didn't know if I could be back. My goal is the home opener in April, and I actually ended up coming back in July, and they were just laughing at me. They're like, you can say that, but they were like, it could have taken a year. So not knowing when I was coming back and just like trusting every day I was getting better, even though it didn't feel like that. It was a struggle.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, I know the physical part of that recovery is so tough, like you said, but what about the mental side? Like, did you, I don't know, how did you stay positive and come back with confidence to play again?
My teammates, like being around my teammates helped a lot. Like I would still be in film sessions. I was still around the team. That helped. But when I was getting back closer and closer, I was like, okay, I'm over this. It got really hard towards the end where like I started breaking down and I was like, I'm ready. But and then I felt a lot of pressure coming in because they needed me at the time. And I still was like 70%. So was I confident coming in? No. And did I play at my best? No. But I'm trying to be kind to myself. And I went through a major surgery and I was like taking it day by day and remembering why I was there, remembering and understanding the point I was at and understanding that I wasn't there yet, but working every day. So actually like during the process, it wasn't as hard because I was like, okay, I'm getting better. I'm really focusing on myself, but coming back into a team where I've never played with any of these players before. And then trying to be a leader through that, where I like, it was tough. It was really tough for the last half of the season because, I just felt a lot of pressure. And I don't know if you guys know this, but being like not 100%, but also like having the weight on your shoulders, it feels difficult. But I will say my teammates helped a lot in that process.
Yeah, can't even imagine. But now, so for this season, this year, like, are you excited? Do you have any goals that you set for yourself for this season specifically?
Yeah, I'm super stoked. I mean, number one is staying healthy. I think it's a 10-month season. It's the longest season we've had in a really long time. So staying healthy is the number one priority. Two, obviously starting in whatever role that is. I've been playing a little outside back, center back. But goals for the team, like we have a base now and we can start to build on that. We have an identity as a team now with our new coaches coming in. And I want to help lead that. I think I find value and purpose in leading my teammates. And whether that's fitness or the tactical side of the game, I think we can definitely make playoffs this year. But it's still taking it day by day. Yeah.
Have you always had that like sense of leadership, like through college and growing up? Was it something you always enjoyed being and doing?
Yeah, I think there's different types of leaders. What I pride myself on is like I'm approachable for the younger players, but I also uphold a certain standard. It's the kind of the Carolina way, since I went to the University of North Carolina, and their use of competitive cauldron made me super competitive, and like every day is a chance to get better. And I think people lose sight with that when games start to come and people are getting tired, but and then they stop showing up at practices because we're trying to save ourselves for games. And I think just my intensity during practices, but also being approachable and learning that it's not we're going to be amazing this one game, but it's a marathon. And that's why and how I like to lead, and I think my teammates enjoy that.
Yeah, I feel like that's really important to have a leader who is approachable, because there is all different kinds of leaders, but having that one you can go to and talk to and bounce ideas off of and get advice is so important on every team. You mentioned the identity of the team. What do you think that is like for Angel City? Like, how would you describe the identity of the team now?
We have like core values. So we stick to those core values. And one of our major things we've been working on this year is like being super gritty and not losing out on a tackle, pressing when we can, when we lose the ball, getting the ball right back. And that's been like kind of set in stone from the beginning of preseason. And I think you can build off of that. So once you have that energy and everyone's bought into being hungry at winning the ball back, then we can start to focus on how we're going to play. And we really pride ourselves on honor and respect for this club and understanding that we're in an amazing place in LA, and we love our club values and understanding that it's much bigger than soccer. I think it's definitely a huge part of our identity to go out there every game and show why women's soccer is amazing and show the younger generations that they can do this too. And I think it gives us such a purpose to go out there every day and do our best.
I love that. And setting the right example and being a source of inspiration for younger players is huge. When you were younger, what was your biggest like source of inspiration?
Definitely my mom. I grew up in Nebraska, so there's not much like soccer. I didn't know professional soccer was a thing. And I had my brothers to look after, but the biggest female mentor was my mom, and she basically raises the ceiling of what you think your potential is. And I think everyone needs that. Everyone like kind of puts themselves in a box. They're like, okay, I think I can do this, but she's like, no, you can do this. And this is how you're going to get there. So like when I was 5, I drew a picture of myself going to North Carolina, and she just kept reminding me. And I got offered in 8th grade to go to Nebraska, and I was about to take it, and she shook her head. She's like, don't be an idiot. Like, you're going to go to North Carolina. And so she really, understood that we can do whatever we put our minds to. And I know that sounds cliche, but when you watch someone do it, because she grew up in a poor family, she got herself out of a really small town, out of a really small town in Lincoln or in Nebraska, and moved to Lincoln. And she battled cancer twice. She was raising 4 kids on her own, and she never complained. And she was like, listen, like, you gotta just do your best you can every single day, and you'll become successful that way. So she was an amazing role model to watch. And she's definitely the reason why I am successful at soccer.
Wow, that sounds incredible. My God, that's amazing. I'm inspired by her story just hearing you say that. But you bring up like a really awesome point about just like having someone who like undoubtedly believes in you. And you know, and always pushes yourself, because whatever you think your limit is, it's probably somewhere higher than that. We tend to put a little bit of a cap on ourselves. Do you take like that mindset that she had with you, and basically her belief in you? And do you try to like let that like have that same attitude towards the people around you on your team? Like, do you try to like kind of make everyone else level up the same way your mom made you level up?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my like mottos is that people need people. Mentorship is huge. And I've fortunately surrounded myself with people that have lifted me up and saw my potential and kept pushing me towards that. And so I definitely want to do that with the younger girls, even the older girls, and even the younger generation. Like, because of my experience of going through, like, you know, being on the bench, having to go overseas to get more experience, it's so funny to see my younger teammates kind of go through, oh, man, I'm not playing this game. And it's like really hard for them. And I'm like, it's a long game. And if you're getting better every single day, I can't wait to see where you are in 2 years. And yeah, so I just keep reminding them that and telling them to trust the process.
It's so hard to do it when you're in the moment, but to have someone like you tell them that probably means so much because you had your own experiences in your career already. And like for them to see that, I'm sure that really helps them. Do you have any other advice for younger players, even if they're not playing professional, anyone in high school or college who maybe wants to play at the next level? Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, I would say keep surrounding yourself with better players than you. I know that it's difficult sometimes, especially like when you go to college in club, you start again at usually at the bottom of the totem pole, and just understanding that that's a privilege and you can learn from these players and get better every single day. That's how I did at North Carolina, and then I became a captain by my junior year. I walked on. And so I keep putting myself in very stressful environments. And that is the only reason why I became so good today, because I just kept learning and putting myself in really uncomfortable situations, asking to play pickup with some of the best players in the world and pushing myself into those situations. Those things will only help you. And not to be scared, because people will retire at some point. And if you stop doing what you love and you get a job, a lot of people regret it. And they're like, but I could have maybe been this one day. So just keep pushing those boundaries.
I love that so much. It's just such a nice reminder to, like you said, I forget how you said it, but just putting yourself in those like scary situations is when you're going to grow, you're going to learn, and you're going to push yourself way more than you would if you were to go somewhere where you'd feel like things are easy and not challenging. So there's so much room to grow in a challenging space. And I just think every player needs to take that away from this podcast, like, especially as a professional athlete. You are always like challenging yourself because you're always playing with players who are at your level or better or whatever, but it is such a nice reminder. So thank you for that. So do you have any personal goals this year? Like, it doesn't even have to be soccer related, but is there anything that like you just want to work on personally?
I want to finish my book. I've written a book, and so this was during my time at South Korea. I had lost my mom my junior year of college, and it's basically an autobiography of my grief, but also like how soccer and traveling worlds kind of brought me out of that grief and found a purpose. It's called Struggle to Grace, and my goal is to get that released. Soccer goal is definitely, gosh, I was so close to getting invited to a national team camp, and then I hurt my hamstring and then had some injuries along the way, so it would be great to be in those talks again. Another one is just getting more involved in my community. So I was in DC for 3 years before LA, and I started really getting involved with soccer, poetry, with the younger generation, and just finding outlets for them to grow as people and soccer players. And that's one of my biggest goals in LA, to find a couple of groups where I can make a bigger impact. I think it's a privilege, again, to have this platform, and I want to use it as best I can without being super tired, so I can still continue to perform.
Did you say poetry before when you were talking about DC?
Yeah. I partnered with DC Scores, and they did poetry slams for elementary school, middle school, and high school, and they told me to share one of my poems, so I was involved with that too. So I love poetry slams.
That's really cool. That's awesome. And you're a writer. That's amazing. I can't wait to read your book, so I'm very excited for you to finish it. It sounds like it's going to be amazing.
I hope so.
Any questions, guys, before we go into rapid fire? All right, cool. We call rapid slow burning. You can think about it. It's all just fun questions. What's your go-to coffee order?
Black with a splash of cream with one Splenda. Sorry for the natural people out there.
What are you doing on a day off?
Oh gosh, probably cleaning a lot, playing with my dogs, and drinking coffee and reading and writing.
What kind of dogs do you have?
I have a mini Doberman, a miniature pincher, and a German pincher. So like a medium-sized Doberman.
Which one is the one that
she got bit before?
You beat your own blood.
Yeah, this one. Hold on, I'll show you.
We're all watching you right now. Like, it's
Aki. Hey,
good bad dog.
She's so sweet though.
I call that a furkle. When they're in a fur circle, that's their sleeping position. It's so tight.
That's so cute.
All right, off the dog toppers, back to the questions. What is your favorite drill at practice?
Oh gosh, I would say just like 66 to big goals.
Do you have a least favorite?
Least favorite, the beep test.
Yeah.
No, least favorite, I would say a lot of the times we play games and it screws the defenders. We just did one in Florida last week where it was like 7v3 and it was a full sprint back to the goal, and it's for attacking purposes, and we just run the whole time and we get scored on.
At the mercy of the defenders, the forwards get scored on attacking. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite team to watch?
Manchester City men. I loved watching ourselves at the Spirit. I loved the style of play that we did. But Manchester City, yeah.
Who's your favorite player of any sport?
Oh gosh. Of any sport? I would have to say I'm going to say Bernardo Silva from City. He's so good. I was going to say Mbappe, but he's so good, but he didn't defend in the World Cup, and it really made me mad.
He did not defend.
Yeah.
All right. What is one of your all-time favorite books?
I have so many. But I feel so deep, but definitely Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. It's amazing. It changed my life.
Oh, I gotta read it. Man's Search for Meaning, did you say?
Yeah.
What actor would play you in a biopic?
Oh gosh. My wife thinks I look like Jennifer Lawrence. I don't know. I think it's my cheeks and my eyes. So that. I'm gonna have to say her, and she's a badass.
Who is the most famous person's phone number saved in your phone?
I'm gonna have to go with Chris Brown.
What?
Yeah.
You just not. I was not out there.
Oh,
just, please tell.
I was 20 visiting my sister in LA. I was living with her for 3 months playing with LA Blues. And I got invited to their July 4th Nobu party. And I was at their table all night. I was 20 and I was being ridiculous, but everyone loved it. I left the table. Their bouncers brought me back and just hung out with them all night.
I think that is a good story. I'd love to catch up. Let's grab some coffee.
All right. If you had a sandwich named after you, what kind of sandwich would it be?
I'm going to have to go turkey and Swiss. Is that a sandwich?
whatever you want to be on this sandwich. We've gotten some weird answers, so that's pretty neutral. It's good.
Yeah, I'm boring. I'm a neutral person, I guess.
What kind of bread?
Sourdough. Definitely the best.
What about, what's your biggest soccer girl prob?
I'm gonna go with whenever it rains or snows and I know it's happening and I still go out and play anyways and I forget to bring towels in my car and then my car is soaking wet and I have to go get a car wash. It happens every time. I forget a towel every single time.
Even Even when you're sweaty from training, I always am like, oh God, I wish I had something else to sit on besides.
Yeah.
Seat covers. Every athlete needs a seat cover for the car. Absolutely. We should be selling them on our website because I have ruined my car seats from the sweat on my back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great business opportunity.
Well, didn't you forget a towel somewhere and use your...
Yeah. Yes, I went to the gym and I forgot a towel and the gym didn't have a towel. So I went out to the car, got my car seat towel that I had been sweating in like for months. And I used it after I showered. It was not one of my proudest moments.
Oh my
God. It said like Volvo on it. It was so funny.
Oh my God. And the typical just pat. I've had to use like paper towels before where you just pat.
You do what you do your best. That's it.
Yeah.
Classic. Well, Paige, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And it was so great to learn more about you. And we can't wait to read your book. We can't wait to watch you continue to crush it on the field. And hopefully we get to see you play in person soon.
Well, thank you guys, because I love engaging in your stuff and I love your platform. So yeah, I really appreciate it.
Have a great day, Paige. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Soccer, because you know we got some problems. So tune on in, away we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your king.